It is my honor and my joy, and I'm going to talk while these are moving, to introduce to you Dr. Russell Anderson. Dr. Anderson has been used by God in a very unique way. I'm going to read two verses to you. They're not his sermon, but I was working on this. And the Bible says in Psalm 92, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Dr. Anderson, many, many, many years ago, I'm going to get in trouble for that one, I'm sure. Hang on. Dr. Anderson got saved as an adult and got married, and just an amazing story. Grew up in the southeast section of Kentucky in the coal mine areas. Got tired of the coal mines and got involved in construction businesses and began to work in construction and started a construction business and ended up starting six other businesses while he was doing that, and God blessed him. God's used Dr. Anderson and his wealth. God, I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars Dr. Anderson's given away. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you why? Everything he did, he said, "I'll use it and I'll use what God's given me to see people get saved." I don't know that there's ever been a human being alive that has seen as many people saved as Dr. Russell Anderson. The college that I graduated from, first $300,000 of it was given so that it could open by Dr. Anderson. My wife went to college there. The Lopezes went to college there. The college that my daughter and my son have graduated from and Brother Michael Dorsey's going to, Dr. Anderson has helped in the starting of that college. My ministry alone, Brother Anderson, not the churches that I've worked in, but my personal ministry, I've seen almost 20,000 people get saved. Can I tell you why? Because of his investment. And we're not done yet. I plan on seeing a whole bunch more get saved. Rednecks, hillbillies, and West Virginians, amen? We'll take them all, even people from Maryland. I'm just so excited. Dr. Anderson is a very unique man. He just had his 88th birthday last week, and he's still going strong, and he was instrumental in helping us get some finances for our church. He introduced us to Brother Jim Bossy and the Jehovah Jireh Ministry. And they helped us with they purchased half of our property, gave us the money for half of it, and just an amazing thing. Dr. Anderson sees, I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of people have been saved. And by the way, he wasn't a preacher. He was just a common, ordinary layman in a church that God used in an extraordinary way. He'd get up every morning and read his Bible and pray for a couple of hours. Dr. Lester Olof used to say, "You make your living from 9 to 5, but you learn how to live from 5 to 9. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that. Dr. Anderson is living proof of that. He's preached with the Giants. He's been with the Giants. The Dr. Jack Hileses, the Lee Robertsons, the Jim Vineyards, I could go down the line, all of them. Brother Olof and many, 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 many others. Dr. John Rice and just so many. God has used Dr. Anderson, and it's our privilege to have him with us. I say this humbly. I never thought I'd ever be able to say these words, but he's my friend. He really is. He's my dear friend. He'll call me sometimes from Hawaii or wherever he's at in the country and say, "Brother Bush, just tell me what God did last week." And I'll tell him about what the Lord's doing here in our little old church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And let me tell you, he's encouraged me more than I've been able to encourage him probably. But I love this man. He's my hero. He's my friend. And I'm glad I get to introduce him to our church. So, Dr. Anderson, you come preach for us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is yours.
Oh, that's
my report last year.
Yes, sir.
3,600 a day got saved, read it. a day. That's what I do. I send the money. I don't do the counting. So I get out that way, but I get the weekly reports of my soul winners, and I pay over 200 people a day to go soul winning in Mexico City and in the Philippines, Rick Martin, and I built 1,400 churches with Rick Martin. I sent the money over there, I think it is, and I've got to praise God now for what he did. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. Never been to college a day in my life. Some of you, I'll tell a little bit of my testimony, or some of you haven't heard it. But they say that I'm the founder of the largest Baptist church in the world now. It's Kevin and Wynn, Mexico City. They'll have 24,000 there today. Amen. As I started building a church, I was praying in Hawaii one morning real early, and God told me to send the money over there, and I didn't even know Kevin and Wynn. But it's amazing what God did. And the greatest thing, let me tell you something, it's no secret what God has done. What he's done for others, he can do for who? You. See, God has no pets. And God is constantly looking for someone he can use. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Amen. God has his eye on you. I'll preach that sermon. God has his eye on you all the time. God wants to use you if you pay the price. I'm so happy he's going to start teaching on the Holy Spirit, because until I got to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I didn't win many souls. You can, let me tell you something. It's impossible for you and I to win somebody to Christ.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit's got to do our responsibility is to talk to their ears, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to talk to their hearts.
That's right.
We start trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, he gets mad. Right. So you just got to realize the Holy Spirit, you got to work through you. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient to you that I go away. Jesus is talking to us. It's necessary for you to go away. If I go another way, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, not you and I.
That's right.
So we got to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that you want to eat. Because God didn't use me much. So I've learned the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I hope you bring tablets and keep notes. And so just tell you what the Holy Spirit did last year. I kept up with it. I think I might have told it last year. I went through the plan of salvation with 100 people, and approximately 90 people, give or take, bowed their head and asked Christ to save them. Now, that's because I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. Remember, anytime you talk to someone, you ask the Holy Spirit to do his job. Don't try to do his work.
That's right.
And I've said that I never heard the gospel. Somebody may not have heard me here. I never heard it until I was 28 years old. I grew up in the depths of sin. 7 of us in a one-bedroom house. No electricity, no running water back in the mountains. We had chickens and hogs and raised our vegetables and a candle in the summertime. So we'd have something to eat in the wintertime. I started out 50 cents a day and $2 a day. And so it's imagine. And I got in the depths of sin. I never heard the gospel. My dad and mother never took me to church, never told me about heaven or hell. And I thought I was living in hell when they was fighting a lot of times as a kid. And so, but here in that kind of life, in 1955, I left the coal mines in the eastern part of Kentucky. Prestonburg, Route 23, I'll go right through it if you're going south on 23. And I came up 23 and came to Michigan, and I heard the gospel, and I've gotten to leave out a lot, and I was saved 1959. And so you talk about taking a transformation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
And the thing about it is that I've saved. So then none of my people have been in business, what makes my testimony a little effective. I don't come from a family of business people. No, not anyone else in our family on either side. And so I got saved. Now, you need to get started right. When you get saved, you need to get started right. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
So when you get saved, then the next step is, it says repent and then be baptized. And baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse. And so then the next thing is join the church, and the next thing is tithe.
That's right.
Dr. Jack Hiles tells a story about one of his, when he first started out in Texas preaching, one of his ladies was married to a man, drank up about all of the drink every week and hardly anything for the kids and groceries. So one Sunday after church, she went home and he was still on a hangover. She said, "Let me tell you something. You going to church with me tonight or I'm leaving you. I will not be here tomorrow night. You just test me. You're going to go to church with me tonight. You hear that?" He thought all evening. He said, "Okay, I'll go." So he went to church that night, and Dr. Hiles preached on hell and made hell hot. And so he got saved. And then he said, "Now, what else after he got saved?" I had to ask Dr. Hiles, said, what else is it to do? He said, "Well, you'll join it." He said, "You'll be baptized." He said, "Okay, I'll be baptized." He went to the baptist back here, so he got baptized. Then he come back out, and he said, "Well, what else should I do?" "Join the church." He said, "Well, I'll join it." "What else should I do?" He said, "You ought to tithe." "What's tithe?" He said, "He never heard of it." "He gave a tenth." He said, I don't have a tenth. I have 2/5 out in the truck. Will that work?" But he got saved and baptized at 2/5. And so, but that the it's amazing when I heard it and had it done. And so then when I did get saved, I wasn't a Christian on either side. My dad and mother had divorced, not a second marriage. But they divorced, and so I began then to talk to my people about how God they saved me. And I saw 11 of my people saved in 6 weeks. Now, don't tell me a young convert can't win souls to Christ.
That's right.
If you depend upon the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you'll say, that where they'll bring conviction.
That's right.
And so within 6 weeks, I say 10 or 11 of my, right now, I've got 8 or 10 people in heaven. Let's say, because one man got saved. And so one person in the family, I saw them aunts and uncles, and I saw they have 2 of them, practically alcoholics, 3, and they got saved, and they haven't touched a drink. And by the way, I haven't had a Budweiser in 60 years now either. I got a drink of the living water, and I've not been thirsty about to say.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something now that I said about a hero of mine the other night. And I consider your pastor a hero. I told this story the other night, and I may be tell it again tonight. I like it. And First Samuel, don't turn there. I'm just going to tell it. There's a man named Kish, had a son named Saul, and his asses got lost. And he said, "Son, get a servant and go and see if you can find him." So he got his son and went and a servant. And then he... after 2 or 3 days, I think. And Saul said to the servant, "We better go back home. My daddy's going to send people looking for us now." We've gone 3 days. And this man said, "Behold," now wait a minute, he said. And said, "Behold, wait now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith comes surely to pass." I read this at the graduation the other night at Commonwealth Baptist College. And I'll tell you, as I said about Dr. Fugate, there is in this city, there is in this town, a man of God.
Amen.
I know the price he's paid to get this building up and going. Now, it's beautiful. I walked through it, and it's going to be a model. I'll tell about it. And then how that you people's worked. And so, there is in this city, there is in this town, there is in this state, a man of God. You heard his testimony. I hadn't heard that before. 6.5 years, somebody been saved every week?
Yes, sir.
Now, very few people can say that. Most people, most pastors sit soaking and souring, and so they're not producing. And so, now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. And show you how that God can use you if you let him.
Amen.
It takes a surrendered man to be a man of God. I've known him now for years. In this building, he prayed that down to all the problems he had with the building. And I look at it, think how many people have already been saved, and people get saved every week and baptized.
Yes, sir.
Now, this church has done something for God. And I'm here to tell you, try to get more people enlisted. The layman, Nehemiah was a layman. God uses laymen.
That's right.
You know why Apostle Paul got saved as a layman by the name of Stephen?
That's right.
When they stoned him to death and the stones was bounced off him, Saul doing putting the rest in Christian, putting them in prison. And when the stones was bounced off Stephen, he looked up in heaven and said, I see God on the and Jesus on his right hand. He said, I see him. And then as it was hitting, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what he doeth. And here Saul was. He later turned to Paul, his name. He couldn't get over that he saw a man die. Now, he'd been killing Christians. Saul had put them in prison. Men had letters on the road to Damascus. And my belief is he never got over Stephen's testimony. And so then on Acts chapter 9, I'm going to tell you about Acts 9, he was coming and had a sunstroke. I told his teacher one time, S-O-N stroke. And said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And see, that's where he got saved, because later on, he's 3 days and three nights, didn't eat, couldn't see. And then when they sent the summons to him, see?
Yes, sir.
He said, Brother Saul. He called him Brother Saul. And so the Lord has sent me, and so but he never got over a layman, and that was the name of Stephen. Now, then we're going to talk about another layman here today. Nehemiah was a layman, and said in chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hattaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. There's a lot of these words I can't pronounce. I just guess at them. I may call them Mr. Jones. Down in Kentucky, and I grew up, they thought there's cuss words. And so if I stumble at one, you've been through college, I ain't. I'm doing the best I can with what I know. So be patient with me. And you think, then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews. I asked him concerning them, the Jews that had escaped, which were left in captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity therein, the providence, are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and gates are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words. Now listen what this layman did. I sat down and wept. I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant with the mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive. Let thine eyes be open, rather, and thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, that I may pray thee now day and night for the children of Israel and thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Now, you imagine you're looking at him, left by layman looking up and said, now, God, give me your ear now. I'm going to say something. I want you to hear me. And this layman knew the Bible because he knew God's promises, God's predictions and prophecies to him. He told the children of Israel, if you get over and you just forsake me, I'm going to put you in captivity. Now, verse 7, he said, we've dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes of judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded Moses, saying, see, he knew the Bible. He had a Pentateuch. He had studied it. He was a layman. yet he knew it about studying the Bible. And where I got the wisdom to run to 7 businesses, one time I had to get rent from 457 people. Now, that's a full-time job besides the trucking business, the building business, and stores and that. It's amazing at what God, but you need to know the Bible. If God's going to use you, you need to know the Bible.
Yes.
You need to study the Bible.
Yes.
I was up a little after 3 o'clock this morning. I was in the Bible. But when I woke up 3 o'clock, that was actually 9 o'clock in Hawaii. and so I left there just last week. And he said, he knew the scripture. Now, the first thing you ought to do every morning is know the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 8:17, I've made millions off that one verse. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me.
Yes, sir.
I preach this everywhere I go. I miss it. I want to say, you're looking at a man that I rose early in the morning, and I met with God first like I did this morning. And said, I love them that love me and those that seek me early. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say after breakfast. He didn't say afternoon.
He
didn't say midnoon. He didn't say after dinner. See, the devil doesn't bother you very much when you're sleeping. I have some awful dreams, though. I get up sometimes repent. I dream of some of the stuff that I did in God's forgiven me for it. But 28 years in the depths of sin. I repent of my dreams. I get up, God, I want you to forgive me. Bible says, great peace have they with love thy law. And thy word do I love. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I'll get it right in a minute. I want to read the Bible one today.
Yes, sir.
And so we need to know the Bible. And so, and he said, verse 8 now, go back. Remember, I beseech thee the word thou commanded the servant Moses, saying, if you shall undress, I'll scatter you abroad in the nation. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them that were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. And so he said, now, these are thy servants, thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power. And then he said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear be attentive again to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, that they may, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him the mercy in the sight of the man, for I was the king's cupbearer. You read that whole chapter and you cannot see anywhere in there where God called him. He's a layman that volunteered to do something with God.
That's right.
And I have to ask you a question. What have we done this past week for God?
Yeah.
Have we met with him? Have we confessed? Are we teaching it to our children? Are we telling people what God did for us? How he saved us? And so he says to that, and he said, I was a king cupbearer. By the way, he was a wealthy man. And I'm going to cut it short some because of that time. And he went to see the king, and the king let him go down to build a wall. I think it's 5 or 6 months getting there. They can go about 15 miles a day in that desert. That layman, let's think of the cost. Now, there's a cost involved of serving God. Now, when I lived in Hawaii in the winter, 30-some years ago, I made money, got all that snow up there, and I was building houses, and we had a trucking business to get that stuck on snow, and I hated it. And I had 450 people, and they wanted me to get the snow away from they wanted to be number one, the first to get the snow moved. And they called me and let me know they make rent. They pay me a rent. And so, but my responsibility was to get the rent. But then, after I made some money, I started going to Hawaii in the winter. And so my wife and I. So, but when I go over there, I fly back and preach. Sometimes I fly from Hawaii here to preach. It's 9 hours from Honolulu to Atlanta, and then you sit there 2 or 3 hours. And a lot of my meetings, 15, 18 hours. To get to there, and I counted it a great honor to get to do something for Jesus. But there's a price to pay. Now, if you're going to be used of God, there's a price to pay for it.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have a man of God here, and a man of God needs a servant of God. Now, Nehemiah went down. I'm going to cut it short some. Again, this the scripture. And so, when he got to Jerusalem, and chapter 2, verse 11, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. But the point I want to draw your attention to here, I know the cost he has paid to get this building up. I know all the problems that he and I talked off. I said, is this Job this morning? I called him Job. How's your patience? The patience. And he never sounded disgusted. He just kept depending on God, kept going. And looked the building. Amen. Brother Boston and I walked through it yesterday. And so he picked me up at the airport. Brother Boston did. I think he's so well pleased in it that he wanted to show it. He and I both got money, have money in it here, invested in it. And he wanted to show the returns of the good investment, what you people done. But I want you to notice again, he said, I rose at night, I and some few men. Of course, we include the ladies too. But they don't say there. But see, he needs help. How are we going to work, build this church, make it go? Some few men. I want men that's dedicated, that will volunteer. When I had 7 businesses going, that snow would be sometimes almost knee deep, and my pastor and I, we'd be out knocking on doors, telling people about Christ 2 days a week. And all the soul-winning experiences I could tell you. We went in a house one night, took some groceries to feed, and I'm way off now. And so we take some groceries to the family. They didn't have any groceries. It shows the cabinets. And this Baron had 3 kids there. And so we took groceries in and set them down, and they're so glad. And so the 3 children, they didn't have enough chairs for, there's 5 of them and 7, they didn't have enough chairs in the off the kitchen, or a little dinette. I said, I'll take the kids and go in the family room. I knew Pastor B wanted to talk to them, and it's my responsibility to get the kids out of the way. And when they went through that door, there's a little bird cage there called Petey. There's a little had a bird they call Petey. They'll open that door and that bird would fly around, and they could hold her hand out like this and that bird would land on her hand. And then one would smack at it, and I'd look in there at the pastor and he'd fly back in the kitchen. He'd try and lead them to Christ. I could see through and that. And I see he wasn't doing any good, and I said, "Dear Lord, if you let that mount." Now, this is a long time ago. I'm talking about soul winning experiences out. And I said, "If you let that bird land on my head," I said, "I won't let those kids do it." And I carry a red felt pen, how to get kids' attention. And then one got up, I said, "Don't you get it? I'm going to paint you a nail." I painted one of my nails red, painted another. And I said, "No, now you wait. They'll let me do one of these." And that, so I just kept time about this 3. I had 30 nails to paint. Time I got them painted, I looked in, and the pastor had led that lady across. Then I thought I didn't hand like that to make Petey move. And then when I put my hand up on my head, I had hair then, that right long ago, I felt something. And I said, "Oh, no." I took my comb out first and put it on the carpet there. My pastor loves to tell that story on me, what Pete did. But the blessings that come in seeing people saved. And so out knocking on doors. So I and some few men. That means, you see, the few men that went with him is going to have a lot of rewards in heaven. Now let me tell you something. I've got a sermon on. I'm just going to tell you the thing. A lot of people, you've got a choice to make. And so you have a choice to make. And so, yeah, to be a millionaire on earth or a millionaire in heaven. See, here I've got something written down here about talk about money, and I don't like to. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you what God did. You may have more riches than my eyes will ever see. Everyone may know your name, all famous you may be. Although I own no earthly treasure, I'm a millionaire. I've got Jesus, I've got Jesus. The one who fed 5,000 through fish, 5 loaves of bread. The one who walked on water and raised old Lazarus from the dead. The one who made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. I've got Jesus, I've got Jesus. I've got the one who walks the hills of Calvary. The one whose precious blood was spilled for you and me. The one who hung and held his head upon the cross and cried, "It is finished." I've got Jesus, I've got. Now I'm here to tell you, you just don't realize, Pastor, a lot of these people, that they may not be a millionaire here, but you wait till you get to heaven.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather be one up there as one down here.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to both places. So happened, but I've given it off about 90% of mine away. And if I told you how much, you'd think I was bragging. And so I gave 302 apartments away. One day, a guy owed me $8.6 million, and I gave, you've heard the story before, I gave it, I said, well, the only way that, I said, the only way that I'll do it, I'll sign it over to a charitable institution, and then I'll let them sell it to you. He said, it's all right. So we went to closing. That's supposing that you had the $8.6 million. I signed it over to First Baptist Church, which is Hiles Anderson College. They owned it for about 30 seconds, and they signed it, and they sold it to the man. They got the 8.7. I never got a nickel out. Now, if you don't believe that I gave it all away the same day, I never even took a cup of coffee. It all went for Dr. Hiles about a year before he died. And so that, now I don't know how you got off on that, but and there's a price to pay for it. It's amazing what God will do if you have people who would come volunteer and put God first, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But you think about that, about being a millionaire in heaven. There's a lot of, but God, I only run around successful people, and they're Christians. I don't really feel the Lord. You won't catch me out with the wrong crowd. I had enough of that for 28 years. And so my friends are friends like you. I've got them all churches that's done something for God. They want your life to count. Now, if you're not getting involved, not helping a man of God, he's a man of God, I know. And I've only said that about two people. And you heard it the other week about Dr. Fugate. He and I have been together, helped revivals all over the hills of Kentucky, out praying early in the morning, just believing God would answer us two old men. We're writing a book now, Dr. Fugate and I, amen, what God did with two men from the mountains of Kentucky. And so now I'm going down next about two more weeks. And we're going to start. We've already outlined and given a lot of information. We're going to write it. What God did, not what we did, two mountain men of the hills of Kentucky. Amen. And so I love to tell people when I meet them what God has done.
Yes.
And I'd be a fool. The biggest mistake you and I'll ever make is try to take credit for something God did.
Yes, sir.
Now, God did. God saved us. We're in debt. We owe a debt. And Jesus died on the cross for sin. And Nehemiah here, now you think about him, he volunteered. Now, a lot of people talk about having a call, you know, to be in the ministry and that. I don't think I got one. I volunteered, and God don't really direct the volunteers in the service, the armed services and that. They accept volunteers. But I and some few men, he rose at night, and because of that, of one man, he surrendered his life. Now, it takes a surrendered Christian to do what he did. He had a good job. Then I want to teach you something, and Nehemiah, and I had to use that in the last 3 days or four. I've had to use this here. What Nehemiah said, now this is worth waiting for, in chapter I'll find it here in a minute. It's all good. Just a minute. So in chapter 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, E-L-U-L, in 52 days. So look what they accomplished. Boy, you didn't do that here in 52 days. But they had a mind to work. Now, there's a price to pay to be used of God. God's eyes, the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong and behalf of those hearts of perfect towards him. Now, how's your heart? Do you want to have rewards in heaven? Now you're saved. You know what I love to do? Is I love to rise in the morning. And if I get up two or three times a night, I usually do. Use the bathroom. I go to the window and look up. I'm your child. And you're my father. Now, God, you know I try to please my earthly father. And I want to please you. Now, in order to do that today, I want to take you, have me to have control over my life. I want to surrender my life to you this morning. I want you to take control, guide, and lead me. Psalm 32:8, when you turn your life over to God, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I'll guide you with mine eye.
Yes, sir.
Now, beloved, listen. Let's analyze that. I will instruct thee, I'll teach thee, and then I'll guide you. Now, we rise early in the morning, and that's God, and dedicate our soul, surrender our life to God. And he's going to do that and guide us with his eyes. We make a lot fewer mistakes, huh?
That's right.
Huh? And so, but he, Nehemiah also, I'm looking for it here, 5. I think 16. Let me see now. Yeah. Nehemiah told God in praying here, in verse 12, this is worth waiting for now. Listen. He said, he starts, you read the whole chapter 5. He reminded God what he'd done. He said, the other governors before me took a salary. I don't take a salary. He said, I fed 100 and some Jews every day from my table. And said, the former governor, verse 15, had taken a salary. Verse 16 of chapter 5, also I continued in the work of the wall, neither bought we any land of my servants. Moreover, there were at my table. Now, listen what Nehemiah did. He was a wealthy man. The king had paid him well. Moreover, there was at my table 150 of the Jews that rulers besides those that came unto us from among the heathen about us. Now, that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox, 6 cheap fowls were prepared for me, and 1 in 10 days. There are all sorts of wine, grape juice, and yet they all this required not out the bread of the government because of the bondage on my people's health. He said, I paid for it myself. I didn't take anything to the government. And then here's what he said. Here's what we have right when we do something for God. Think upon me, my God, for the good according to all I've done to thee. He said, now, God, you write this down. Don't you forget it. And if you go to chapter 13, I'm not going to do it because my time is up. If you go to chapter 13, two more times when he got them to their children let them marry the heathen people. He made them divorce them, got them by the hair of the head, and made them run their wives off. Now, God, you think on me for what I've done to you. And so I say when you're praying, you can remind God. I often remind, I had to tell my daughter that this week. She's in China teaching the contract. They wanted and paying her well to come over and teach English and history and that to the Chinese people. They're teenagers, they can speak English. She called me the other morning, two mornings ago, at 4 o'clock in the morning, her time. Said they got my son in the hospital, and he's had trouble, bowel movements and that, and he's had that about the bag put on the side, and he's been all right, but now he hadn't passed anything now in two or three days. And they took him in emergency in the hospital in Jacksonville. Dad, please pray for him. I said, all right, I will. I reminded God that my daughter was in China and her son. And I told my daughter later on, and we prayed. And she called me yesterday morning and said everything during the night, it changed and began to pass. An emergency is over. He's going to be discharged tonight. That's because I reminded God what I did for him. Do you remind God? You people who's worked here, please write down what you do. And when you need something from God, you write down, say, God, this is what I'll do for you. I've turned my life for you. I've given you my life in the ministry. Me and some few men, it's amazing what God can do. Let's pray. Our Father, with our heads bowed now, Pastor, will you come?
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The most important thing to know for sure is that you're going to heaven someday. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I've trusted Christ. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put them down. But I wonder who would say, there's something in my life, preacher. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We can take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you've not joined the church. We can take care of that today. Say, preacher, I'd like God to use me. Oh, I'm not going to be a preacher, maybe. I'm just going to be a layman here at the church. Great. God could use you just like he's used Dr. Anderson all these years. Preacher, I don't have millions of dollars. You don't need millions of dollars. God just needs you. Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to use this old-fashioned altar, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come forward. We'll take care of that today.